This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's game seven. That's it. I mean, there's other stuff going on, but come on, guys. It's game seven. This is what we live for in following sports. It's what we live for as sports fans. Those of you that don't like baseball, I'm sorry. Lead your miserable existence. If you don't like the game of baseball and you don't want to watch tonight, it's on you. I'm sure you can find other things. But for most of us, this is what we live for. Do or die, all or nothing, throw all the cliches in there. I want to see Clayton Kershaw walk out of the bullpen tonight in about the eighth inning with Dodger Stadium going crazy and Jose Altuve at the plate. Tie game, bases loaded. That's what I want to see. Last night, it's Halloween night. I'm out front handing out candy, eating candy. Got a TV on out there. I'm watching the World Series. Most every person that came up wanted to stand there and watch the game. How's the game going? What's going on? Are you rooting for the Dodgers? Are you rooting for the Astros? For those that say that baseball is dead, you'll point out TV ratings that will show that it's still far below the NFL. And that doesn't mean a darn thing to me. People slow down to watch car crashes all the time. It doesn't mean it's good. People go to online spots that they shouldn't go to. That doesn't mean it's good. You know, so I don't sit there and look at, well, there's so many people that are watching this sport and that sport. You don't need to bash on it. If you don't like it, just keep walking. It's fine. Me, I'm looking forward to tonight. Lance McCullers Jr. against Yu Darvish. That's not what you would call the classic Game 7 matchup, but that's just where we are. I don't know if you were watching last night when Dave Roberts pulled Rich Hill out and the amount of boos that rained down. I mean, the boos were all over the place. It was really interesting. Our opening commentary brought to you by Sagicor. Sagicor now. Protect what matters most to you. Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. On the show today, we have Pedro Gomez. Pedro's joining us second day in a row. ESPN Baseball Insider Analyst. He is in Los Angeles. He will be at the stadium probably around noon today. I'm going to walk through some process with him as I did yesterday, except today's a little different. When you're covering a Game 7, like Eric, have you gone back to the biggest sporting events that you've covered and the day of those big events, it's just different. Like I was thinking this morning when Game 7 of the Diamondbacks, and yeah, it was a long time ago, but it was just different that day driving into work.
Because it's not just the three and a half hour game. It encapsulates the whole day. You wake up and there's this feeling of the buildup to a big event, and that's pretty much how I feel about tonight. Because anything Game 7 is automatic intensity, and then you ramp up the fact that this is the World Series, you ramp up the fact that this will go down as one of the best World Series ever, regardless of how tonight goes, in my opinion. And these two teams are so evenly matched, I think I told you this morning, it doesn't really matter who you think has the edge when it comes to the starting pitchers. And last night proved that.
No, I think that's well put.
Like, if you told me Justin Verlander would go 6-plus innings and give up 2 runs, I'd say Astros are probably going to win that game. Nope.
Absolutely.
Nope.
And we saw the Cade Upton shot a few times last night. I was very, very pleased
with that. I was thinking about you with that.
Unfortunately, Pedro wasn't in the middle of it. So, I think look, if you're in Los Angeles or you're in Houston, if you're a Dodger fan or you're an Astros fan, you're geeked up today. I think just us being sports fans, and Eric and I don't rehearse this, okay? We don't walk through it. There's times where it's like, I think I'm going to talk about this, or he'll say, you know, you should talk about that. Like, today's your birthday. So if I sit here and just do a whole hour on your birthday, you're going to go nuts. The fact I even brought it up.
Yeah, nobody wants to
nobody
really.
Wants
no
to,
one really
you
cares
think
that it's cares my birthday.
You don't really think anybody cares.
Not really. Everyone has a birthday.
This is a big number, though,
I appreciate you saying that. It's not a big number. It's just another number.
Isn't every year a big number?
No.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I'm in my mid-40s, so I guess what's your definition of a big number?
That's a big number.
Not really.
I'm in my early 50s.
It's not a milestone birthday. It's just a birthday.
Isn't every birthday a milestone?
In some ways, yes.
Your wife's birthday was yesterday.
It was. She had a milestone birthday.
So how is it that works if she has her birthday yesterday and yours is today? The rest of the year is pretty boring. Do you guys like celebrate your dog's birthdays? Because you guys are animal lovers.
No, it's just it's honestly just a coincidence that she and I, you know, have a birthday one day apart.
So do you,
she's Halloween
easy,
and I'm
right?
Day of the Dead. That pretty much like symbolizes everything right there.
But isn't it easy to then to figure it out? Like you guys just take each other to Shake Shack and call it a day, right?
Yeah, I
something
mean,
something like that.
Yeah, we're gonna again. It's midweek birthdays, so
Shake Shack's not gonna cut it.
No,
Chipotle.
No, I don't like Chipotle.
Oh.
So.
You're a Dutch Bros guy. At least every time I look at you, I have a Dutch Bros in your hand. So, no, I'm just wondering. So, like tonight, you're going to watch the game even though it's your birthday. Is that your birthday present? And is she going to be okay with this?
She'll be fine with it.
All right. We don't need to call her and get permission on the air, do we?
No.
You don't want to do that. All right. Pedro here in about 10 minutes. Jerome Sowers is going to be with us on the show today. So, here's the thing on Jerome. Those of you that follow what's going on in Arizona sports know full well, or I think you, if you don't recall, he was fired by NAU after the second game back in September. Fired. They lost to U of A. They lost to Western Illinois. And they fired him the next day. But they said, you're going to coach out this season. So, and he's been there 20 years. Well, since they fired him, he's been able to keep it together. In fact, he's been able to keep it so much together. They're 5-0 in the Big Sky. 5-0. So up in Flagstaff, that's a pretty darn good national story, too, that you get fired and they say, yeah, you're going to coach the next 10 weeks. In most cases, you're going to have guys quitting, players wanting out, coaches not together, and you're going to get boat raced. But instead, they're in first place. They're ranked 16th in the nation. And he's still fired. There's search firms out there. There's names all over the place because I think NAU is going to be one of these jobs. And people will go back and say, well, yeah, Andy Reid was there and go down the list of all the coaches. That's fine. It's been a long time since they had a lot of NFL people roll through Flagstaff. My point is that job is coveted. There's Pac-12 name people that are interested in that job. There's coaches here in the state that are interested in that job. And yet Jerome is still going to get blown out, and he's got some talent up there. So it's a good story. Well, I've talked to the Lopes today, our weekly segment with Grand Canyon University. Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk GCU athletics. We don't just talk basketball. This week we are. This week we will. But because they open the season tomorrow night at home, and Scott Williams, the former son, the three-time NBA champ who does the color work on the television broadcast, will be with us. We'll talk with Scott about GCU and the expectations for Dan Marley. Look, it's easy to sit here and say, yeah, let's all talk about March. I think the players, and let's talk about Casey Benson transferring in from Oregon. This is a process. Like, if you have a team that is not all together and all they're hearing about is the shiny facility they play in and the Havocs, and they're not focused on the games at hand here in November and December and January. You've got to make sure that you don't have those spots. And I'm not doubting Dan. I mean, I've been around Dan in the program enough to feel very good that he'll have them focused. There's no question about it in my mind. But you are talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and all they're hearing about is March. No, you have game tomorrow night. And the next, and you've got to take care of business along the way. So I'll talk to the Lopes. And then at 11:15, it's Friday Night 360 AZ, the preview show. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm talking high school football with the playoffs starting this weekend. They have a jam-packed show. In fact, I heard they're going to go an extra segment today. It's so jam-packed. Are you on the show again this week? You were on the no? Okay. All right. I'm just making sure. So that comes up at 11:15. Outside of the World Series, you know, the Suns won last night and the Coyotes lost last night. I think there's going to be lots of that. We've actually had this discussion in the bullpen of how many wins combined will the Coyotes and Suns have this season. And we're a little bit torn on it. I think Jordan's got it somewhere around 20 for each, like 40 total, something like that. But they both played last night. And I got a lot of college football I want to get into after we have Pedro. So that's all coming up straight ahead. Our website is sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show is on Fox Sports Arizona. We have six airings of it tonight. Appreciate the partnership with them. We'll be on before and after the Suns game tonight against the Wizards. We'll be on before and after the Suns game for a full hour on both sides. That will be tonight. We are self-funded, by the way. Those of you that are watching us, checking us out, we only survive off of partnerships, people that want to sponsor us. We do not have backers. We don't have investors. It's people that do back us through the form of sponsorship. And we appreciate all of our sponsors, and we encourage you to support them. You're going to hear some words from them now, and then Pedro Gomez on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, it is Game 7. It is a busy day for Pedro Gomez, and we appreciate him taking a couple of minutes. Valley resident, of course, ESPN baseball analyst, insider, good friend of the show. Game 7 tonight, let's work this in reverse. What locker room are you going to at the end of the night, do you believe?
It's TBA at this point, but I would say it might be the losers, only because we get winning players on the field, and this way we get some sound from the other clubhouse as well. But I could bounce around to both. I honestly, that plan isn't normally finalized until the sixth or seventh inning.
If you go to the losers' locker room, which locker room do you believe in your heart's heart you're going to be in tonight?
I mean, game sevens are almost always a coin flip. If I had to pick, I'm going to stick with my pre-World Series pick. I picked the Astros in six. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but I'll say that the Astros win.
Okay, with Lance McCullers Jr. on the mound, and with the Dodgers throwing you Darvish, you believe that McCullers Jr. somehow is going to make it through? Or the pitching is going to make it through? I guess I shouldn't put that on you like that, Pedro. It's a bad way to phrase it.
Here's the thing with McCullers.
Okay.
McCullers, and you remember Josh Beckett.
Sure.
Especially the young Josh Beckett. The 2003 Florida Marlins Josh Beckett, who went in game six and threw a two-hit complete game shutout at Yankee Stadium. Look, Lance McCullers has some of that Josh Beckett DNA in him, where he could go seven, eight, who knows. He's got that in him. He is a high-strung, high-spirited guy who loves having this opportunity. I think that McCullers could go very deep in the game. But having said that, look, if there's trouble early on, either pitcher could be out within one or two innings. You cannot wait around for a guy to straighten himself out in a Game 7 situation. So you very well could see Yu Darvish once again go an inning and two-thirds, or even less. Who knows? Look, if the Astros somehow get two in the first and there's a runner on and there still aren't three outs, I could see Dave Roberts saying, that's it, let's go, Alex Wood, come on in. Game sevens, who knows? And you know, McCullers could be overly amped up,
right?
And you know that's a thing. And but he does have some Josh Beckett in him, and that's something that could very well play well in a game seven.
Pedro Gomez from Los Angeles. It is game seven tonight. ESPN baseball analyst, insider Pedro Gomez with us. Always good to catch up with Pedro. Do you anticipate seeing Kershaw and Verlander tonight? It's like Randy Johnson in 2001, and anybody who says, oh, you can't use Verlander because he just pitched last night. No, this is it. This is the end of the season. So do you think Verlander and Kershaw come in tonight?
Kershaw, yes. Absolutely. I think Kershaw could go two innings. Verlander, highly, highly doubt it. Just threw almost 100 pitches, you know, last night, and it's usually the day after where your arm doesn't feel good. And look, is Verlander at 70% better than Will Harris at 100%?
Yes.
You know, that might be a toss-up, but I think you go with Will Harris at 100% over someone as great as Verlander at 70%. So I doubt you'll see Verlander, but Kershaw, 100%.
Justin Turner, eighth inning, bases loaded, two outs, righty on righty. Verlander, AJ waves to the ball. I was amazed last night to hear the boos towards Dave Roberts with Rich Hill. Were you?
You know,
they're that angry out there at him?
They're used to it now because they know that the Dodgers computer won't allow Rich Hill to go a third time through the lineup,
yeah.
Which is, it just
yes.
goes against everything. But that's the, you know, that's how analytically driven the Dodgers are. The computer says no third time around for Rich Hill. And if you notice, there's never a third time around for Rich Hill.
Mm.
So
how do you feel about that?
Two,
how do you feel about that?
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it because I think you have to watch a guy, see how he's competing, see how he looks. And a computer can't tell you that. You know, your eyes can only tell you that. And Rich Hill in game two was dealing. And all of a sudden, it got to the third time around. And the computer said, that's it. So Rich Hill was lifted. And the Dodgers fell apart in game two.
Doesn't it feel like, well, I shouldn't put it this way. To me, I'd like to see Puig come up and hit a game winner just to see what he would do. mean, could you imagine? Or Gurriel the same way, you know? It's I want to see Kershaw against Altuve. All these scenarios I'm running through as a bit of a fan tonight, because I'm not there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic day because game sevens are the best. And when they're the last game of the season, look, last year was memorable in Cleveland mm-hmm. when Rajay Davis hit the game-tying home run and it felt like Progressive Field was going to come unhinged. You know, LeBron's up there flexing and everybody sees it and, you know, the place was electric. And we very well could see something similar tonight. Dodger Stadium's the third oldest ballpark in baseball. Will it be able to hold up to a similar scenario if a Dodger does something late? I mean, of course it will, but it's just fun to think about the possibilities and see what happens. And that's why sports are so great, you know? This isn't the Kardashians. This is real reality mm-hmm. TV. And we just don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, a couple other questions. And some of this is repetitive from yesterday, but I'm just really curious about your day. Yesterday you said you're going to get over to the stadium around noon-ish. Is that about the same? And what is your process that you're going to want to go through? If I'm in your spot today, just me, I'd want to go find Vin Scully just for a moment. Just for a moment to find out
yeah,
what he's
thinking. Yeah, the problem is that Vin gets there right before first pitch,
yeah.
And you know, he goes right to the suite. It's not that easy to get there to talk to him, so that's probably not going to be possible.
Yeah, but what's your process today? What's your process, Pedro?
Yeah, I mean, same thing. I'll get to the Dodger Stadium around 12:30, and go listen to Dave Roberts and AJ Hinch. Those will be the only people that will come to the interview room. And then I like to go out to the field during BP, and you can kind of talk to players, pluck them aside and pull them aside and just kind of see what's going on. I ran into AJ Hinch a little while ago here in the hotel lobby about an hour and a half ago, and he said that he slept fine. He just didn't sleep long.
Yeah.
He said he got to bed around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and woke up at 4:30. But for that 3.5 hours, he was out. But then all of a sudden your mind starts racing and you start thinking of different scenarios. And I would assume that pretty much every player is probably gone through a similar experience where you just can't sleep because your nerves are you know, the anxiety, the possibility of what could happen tonight takes over and your mind just starts racing and you just can't get a full night's sleep.
Will players blow you off today because they're so locked and loaded, and they don't mean it intentionally?
No.
Okay.
And not baseball.
And in your space, are you one of those that your mind, did you sleep last night? It's very personal stuff here, but can you unplug? Can you unplug? Because when we're in those moments, and you're in moments all the time, I'm not as much as I used to be. When you're in that moment, I found it impossible to decompress. Because it's such a big deal.
Yeah, it's funny because I had a 9 a.m. hit today from our L.A. studio. And so I set my alarm for 7, but I was up at 6
sure.
without the alarm going on yet. So, yeah, I would say that you do get caught up in the moment. And even though I have nothing at stake, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to be here to you know, be a reporter for one of the great events ever, a Game 7. And so, yeah, my body, I was up at 6 and I still had an extra hour of sleep, but I just couldn't sleep anymore. So I think it's natural. It's human nature. to get caught up in the moment. And like I said, I have nothing at stake, but I get to be one of the documentarians of it, and that alone is exciting.
If they win, if the Astros win, you're on a plane tonight to Houston or tomorrow morning? Or
no,
are you done?
I probably will not do the parade.
You wouldn't do it?
I've been gone for 6 weeks, Brad, so I'll be coming home to Ahwatukee tomorrow and looking forward to a little bit of rest. Unfortunately, I was supposed to MC the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, tonight, sure.
Induction tonight. And I told them from the beginning, I said, the only way I don't do it is if there's a Game 7. And they, you know, the board was great, and they said, okay, well, we'll roll the dice. So Jeff Munn, they've upgraded. Jeff Munn will be the MC tonight. And,
he'll do
you know,
great.
I won't. Jeff will be great. But I won't be able to be there, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the night, and I know you'll do your best and all that. And when you're standing there next to Justin and Kate, you know, we'll take it all in. Stay well. Thanks for the time, as always.
Okay, Brad. Take care.
See you. There's Pedro Gomez with us. That's right. The sports awards are tonight. Paula's a Hall of Famer tonight. Paula Bovin going in with Shane Doan and Bill Bidwell and Dan Marley and Anthony Robles tonight. It's awesome that she is going in. That's big stuff. I'm really happy for that. It's good stuff there with Pedro. Okay, on the other side, we're going to turn our attention to some college football. Willie Taggart leaving Oregon? Question mark. He shot that down this morning. The Florida job's got everybody scrambling. And what about Rich Rod and Todd Graham now with how their season is gone? We'll get into all that next. Then Jerome Sowers and Talk to the Lopes and Friday Night 360 AZ. All straight ahead. We got a busy hour or so to go. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back, and we appreciate our partners being with us. Those spots you just saw, make sure you support them as they support us. We are self-funded. We've been doing this for 6 years, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Those of you watching over on AZ Central, thanks for jumping on in. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. You can check it out before and after the Suns play their game against Washington. All right, so the high school end is going to be brought up here in about a half hour. It'll be Friday night, 360 AZ, the preview show, and that'll be with Jordan and Haley, and they'll go through all the playoff games that are coming up this weekend. That show started like 2 months ago, and it's really picked up a lot of steam, a lot of momentum, and they have fun with it. You know, we take the high school just as serious as we do the college games and the NFL, and so that'll be fun to hear from them, and they have great insight and great guests every week. That's the hashtag Friday night 360 AZ preview show. All right, let's get into some college stuff here. So the coaching carousel around college football is always an adventure. It's always fun to talk about. It's always fun to speculate on. It's fun to sit here and look at what is taking place across the country. But given this season and everything before the year started with the focus on Rich Rodriguez's future at the University of Arizona and Todd Graham's future at Arizona State, with every win and every loss, especially around ASU. It's a very polarizing position, I think, from the Sun Devil fans. Whereas U of A, it's been more along the lines of, just give me the basketball season. But then the scandal hit basketball with Book Richardson and everything around the FBI and Sean Miller, and he still hasn't talked about it, and U of A keeps sending out notes of he's only talking about stuff on the floor and all that nonsense. That is the overriding story with U of A basketball. It just is. The football team, Khalil Tate. Eric, did you see the Rick Neuheisel story? Did you hear about this?
I did.
So here's the thing on Khalil Tate. Khalil Tate's a Heisman Trophy candidate, in my opinion. We're going to get our ballot here in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to put Khalil Tate on it, not as one, not as two, not as three, not as four, at least as it stands right now. But somewhere in there, he's going to be on it. Just not in the top four. You've seen him play exactly how many times?
Zero times.
Zero times. Would you call yourself a big college football fan?
Yes.
Have you been avoiding him? Is it you just don't like the U of A? Why is it you have not seen him play as of yet?
Well, it's more so U of A and Khalil Tate have been avoiding me because they're frequent guests of the Pac-12 network, which I don't get.
So here is Eric, okay, an enormous college football fan. That's the best way to describe you.
It's my favorite sport.
Okay. And you've been hearing about Khalil Tate for a month.
I see the highlights. I just haven't seen a full game of theirs or even a half of U of A football in quite some time.
And for those who say, well, Eric could go to a sports bar if you're really into it. No, that's not how it works. If you're following sports, you want to do it in the leisure of wherever it is you are. Okay. It doesn't matter who the team is. If you do not have access, you know, I've paid for the Pac-12 network, and I pay for it only because I have the job to do here of football and some basketball. I don't find the Pac-12 network to be very engaging. I don't find it to be very entertaining. They put stuff on there that I just don't flat care about. Unlike the Longhorn Network, which I have not seen much of except when it first started. Have you seen Longhorn Network at all?
A little bit. I've watched a couple games on there, but I don't watch any of the programming because I don't really like the University of Texas. But I have watched a couple games there.
Okay, SEC Network. Have you seen that?
I have. Okay. I have.
Big Ten Network.
I have watched, again, just games. That's really the only reason I'd go to these specialty channels.
But you would. So I watch some of the studio show stuff for content. Like, I like Paul Feinbaum. I'm one of the few people out here in the West Coast that actually pays attention to everything that goes on. And they do a ton of SEC. That's why it is the SEC network. The ACC network is coming along. I don't hear anybody, Eric, say, boy, the Pac-12 network had this great show. Or the Pac-12 network, you should have checked this out. I've been a part of some of their shows. They did a show where they sat a bunch of us down. It was like Healy, Doug Franz, myself, Don Bakke, and they threw names at us at a hotel room back in July. And I turned around and saw the show, and it was just like Sun Devils, Wildcats. You know, they're asking me, what do I think about this player and that player? It's fine. But beyond that, it's women's soccer. And I have a daughter who just is leaving the world, the girls' soccer field. But I know it's only family and friends. There's like 50 people that are watching this stuff. In order to drive it, you got to have it distributed. You got to distribute something that people want to grab onto. There's no debate. There's no real deep dive into coaching futures because the Pac-12 network is owned by the Pac-12 schools. It's owned by the presidents of the university. Michael Crow has a big say as to what goes on the Pac-12 network. So it's never going to be true journalism. They want it to be to recruit players. I don't think you're going to be recruiting players if every night I tune in and I'm seeing a repeat of ASU playing a football game from 10 years ago to fill time. And so, you know, if you're Todd Graham or you're Rich Rodriguez, in particular, if you're Rich Rodriguez, this is Khalil Tate's big chance this week.
It is, and he'll be playing at 7:45 Pacific Standard Time on ESPN. Good news, you're on ESPN. Bad news, probably only 6 or 7 states will be watching that game.
Because the game will start at almost 11. Like the ASU game last week, because Texas A&M was running long, it didn't kick till 7:51. What does that mean? I mean, it's 6 more minutes on the East Coast.
Yep.
If you don't think that's valuable time, you're kidding yourself. You're in New York City. It's a blowout. Just get the game underway. Dive out of these other games. Can't do it. So back to Rick Neuheisel. Rick Neuheisel, we've had on the show. Rick is as respected a name, a voice, an authority as you would want on college football. You would want Rick Neuheisel talking about your program. One big problem. So the Pac-12 network, all their games, they keep the video of those games. If you want to use video highlights in the Pac-12 network, you have to pay them. They actually told us, you have to pay us. And we said, we're not doing that. We're not paying you for highlights. So CBS Sports Network, which Rick Neuheisel has a weekly show on, Rick wanted to do Khalil Tate and wanted to do Bryce Love as Heisman candidates. And CBS Sports Network said no, because you don't have rights to the footage. We can't show any footage. You guys just think we throw stuff up just to throw stuff up? No. So here is Khalil Tate's first time all season long to show what he's all about. U of A at home is tough. In Rich Rodriguez's run, they've been a tough home team. Remember last year, they almost beat Washington last season in Tucson. This year, Washington State goes down there, and they get boat raced. So you look at this game for Khalil Tate this Saturday night. it's going to be Khalil Tate's resume tape to show the country. Willie Taggart. So Willie Taggart at Oregon today had to call a team meeting to tell his team, I'm not leaving for Florida. Willie Taggart was at Florida. Jim Leavitt, who's on his staff, Florida. Mario Cristobal, Florida. They all have Florida ties. The Florida job is the big job now that is going to suck somebody away from another program. And I don't know if it's going to be Dan Mullen. I don't know. It's not going to be Rich Rod. Rich Rod's name was linked there in the past, and they said no. It was a different AD at the time. Todd Graham's in an interesting spot, and then we'll take a break for Jerome Sowers. Todd Graham's in an interesting spot here. Because with every win and every loss, you get that side of the street that says, oh, he's won, the program's all turned around, and then they get crushed by USC. And then there's some ridiculous stuff out there, like it's the referee's fault. Just ridiculous. Like small town market 503 ridiculous. Anybody who buys into that, I mean, come on. We're better than that. That's like being in small town Americana and saying, it's that guy's fault we lost. No, you got crushed. So anybody who puts out stuff that's the ref's fault, zero credibility. Zero. None. Zip. Referee's fault. You lose by 30. Should have lost by 45. Amazing that that stuff even comes out. Except your ass kicking. Don't come up with excuses. So for ASU and Todd Graham, these are three games. Colorado, Oregon State, UCLA, you should win. And if you're an ASU fan, you have to root for U of A to win this weekend. You have to. If you're one of those, I would never root for them, then you just don't get college football. You don't. Jerome Sowers is next. So one of the most interesting stories during this college football season, in my view, in this great state, has been taking place up in Flagstaff. After two games, Jerome Sowers was told he was not going to return as head coach after the season was finished. And we talked about it on the air that it was pretty early to do something like this, but nonetheless, NAU decided to go about the process. Jerome has been there, and the team has now rattled off six straight victories. They're 6-2. They're 5-0 in conference. They're ranked 16th in the country. I mean, you talk about a great story on one hand, but on the other hand, a tough story because Jerome Sowers has been there a long, long time. And so I wanted to have the coach come on just to talk about the season and the emotions and everything as this has progressed. They have two regular season games left. They're at Missoula, Montana this weekend and then home to finish out the year. Coach Jerome Sowers joins us for a couple of minutes. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Coach, I'm doing fine. You and I spoke back in early September when everything went down. If I had told you, Jerome, at the time that, hey, by the way, you're going to go rattle off a bunch of wins, you're going to be ranked in the country right after the news came out, you probably would have said, Brad, you're nuts. But I'll let you fill it in. Would you believe this story?
Well, it's this football team has worked really hard in the offseason. And it's the group of leadership in here. You knew they were up for something special. Now, our schedule was tough at the beginning. We knew it was going to be tough. And Arizona's a good football team. They're doing well this year themselves. And the Western Illinois game, the second one was also tough. We lost that one, but they're a nationally ranked team as well. So it's it's been a tough schedule. And I think our guys have done a great job of believing in the process and getting better each week. And the improvement that you see and that you note has been reflected in performance. And it's been fun to see. I mean, we're getting better every week, and figuring out how to maintain a streak, which is sometimes as hard as just starting one. But they've been really, really next man up in injuries and keeping a positive attitude and playing with passion. Fun to watch, but not surprised. I'm really not that surprised. It's the guys have been working so hard in the off season, and I thought we were really close last year. And this group is really taken upon themselves to believe in each other and to get after the season in a way that we think we're capable of.
Jerome, how have you take me back then to the after the second game and the news and the players, because we're talking about 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, and their thoughts were probably going 100 miles an hour about coach is not going to be back. How have you been able to keep them focused? Is it all you? Is it your assistants? Is it the group of kids you've recruited? Is it the university? How have you been able to keep the focus on the field?
You know, it's a, I think it's a testament to the student athletes, the testament to the coaches. You know, to say it's been easy would not be accurate or true.
Sure,
it's been very difficult on everybody, but they believe in each other and coaches, players alike, and the you know that we are here for a purpose and we intend to serve that purpose. We've worked hard for it, and we're going to stay focused week to week and do the best we can to to position ourselves for what's at the end of the season. And I think our guys have done a great job of putting the uncontrollable issues out of sight, out of mind, and focusing on the things we can control. And there's a there's a great love in our locker room, and that I think that's been a really strong testament to the to our guys, and I'm proud of that.
How about yourself, Jerome? Because when the news came out after 2 weeks and you had that press conference, did you have to have some soul searching about this process and sticking with it with everything that you had?
Well, certainly. I mean, it's I don't think anybody likes to look at that, that reality. But college athletics is that way. You look across the country, and a lot of times you may not understand the whys and wheres. But I've been here for 20 years, and that's a long time for anybody. And mm-hmm. It's been a blessing to have each one of those years. But I'm probably most excited about is the team itself and where it's going. And I think we had a great group of juniors that are really excelling and doing well. Case Cook is among a group of talented sophomores, and we had five true freshmen playing on offense last week. So I know the program's healthy and doing well, and I think it's pointing in the right direction. And so dealing with it personally, I think is probably tough as it would be for anybody. But when you're around the players and you're around the great group of coaches that I have, the support and the camaraderie keeps you above and to stay above, and that's my intention.
Okay, the last 2 weeks of this season, and then you're looking at post, of course, but just set it up for us the next couple of weeks, what you're facing, what you're looking at.
Well, we like the fact that we control our own destiny. That's an important part of our planning, but we've been doing that by staying in the moment. And we our daily goal is to improve. Our weekly goal is to go 1-0. And if we can maintain that short-sightedness and that vision, you're less likely to fall prey to the distractions that come when you do get on a successful roll. And so I think our guys are staying humble and hungry and playing the game with a chip on their shoulder. And we have things to prove, and it's something that they have been working for, and the fact that they believe in each other, I really think we have a chance. So we start this week with a game against the University of Montana, who they're 3-1 at home and they score a lot of points, and that's a really difficult place to play. And so the inherent challenges of this kind of a matchup, they're playing for playoffs and various goals in their program, and the obvious things are there for us, but we're focused on having a great week of preparation and coming in and giving our best performance on Saturday.
Best of luck. As always, I appreciate your time and your insight, Jerome. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you.
Jerome Sauer's with us there from NAU in Flagstaff. And again, the Lumberjacks, 6-2 on the season, 5-0 in conference play. They've won 6 in a row, and he will not be back after the season. After 2 games, the administration decided to pull the plug, and to their credit, I mean, it's a great story on the field and what they've been able to do, winning 6 of 8 and being undefeated in conference play, a testament to Jerome Sauer and his staff. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics all across the board, GCU, all their sports, but primarily the focus now, this week in particular, on the basketball program, Dan Marley's team. Home opener tomorrow night against St. Francis of Illinois. And joining us, he is the 3-time NBA champ. You know him, you love him. When you watch the GCU broadcast with Barry Butel and Kate Longworth, which will be tomorrow night, on your view, which is Cox and ESPN3, that would be Scott Williams. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic. Uh-huh. Fired up for college basketball season, and the Lopes are eligible for the postseason for the first time. Also want to give a shout-out to the women soccer team because they were the first GCU team to qualify for the NCAA postseason tournament.
How about this? You're dropping knowledge all over the place. I like that, Scott. That's good. All right, so let's...
Hey, you didn't expect me to come on here unprepared, did you?
No, heck no. No, whenever you come on. I know you can drop knowledge on basketball, but give me the soccer. Give me the women's basketball team. I think it's going to be pretty darn good this year. There's a lot going on campus.
Yeah, women's basketball team. Listen, they're going to be pretty darn good. I don't care if they lose every game as long as they beat Duke when Duke comes to GCU in a couple weeks. I'm excited about that because, you know, being a North Carolina guy, I hate all things Duke University.
Yeah, listen to you. All right, let's get into this. So,
hey, can we talk a little baseball before we get into the hoops? Anybody excited for Game 7 tonight?
Scott, drop the knowledge on me. It's fine. I'm looking at tonight. How could you not be excited? Is you a Hacienda Heights guy, right? Or Rolling Hills?
Hacienda Heights, California.
Hacienda Heights.
Chavez Ravine.
That's it. I got my Scott Williams down. So, yeah, I mean, this is the first time to have a Game 7 in Dodger Stadium. So, who's not fired?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually trying. I was trying to get myself some tickets to this game. Magic Johnson won't call me back, though.
Wow.
I'm still bitter about the Bulls. My Bulls beating them in the 91 playoff.
Listen to you. No, it's fun. It's a great time of year in sports. All right. Let's get over to the basketball team. So they played at Nevada, an exhibition game. And did you see any of that tape? If you did, great. If you didn't, that's fine, too. What do you make out of Dan's team coming into tomorrow night?
I did not get a chance to see the exhibition game, I'll be honest with you. I've only put eyes on these guys a few times over in practice and kind of watched some of the half-court defense and offensive drills, some of the scrimmages where they had a chance to get up and down. The controlled scrimmages, which Coach Marley likes to do, kind of a three possession break, two on offense, one on defense, get the transition game going, so to speak. But they look pretty good. I mean, they've added more size, a little more beef inside. They got a couple guys from overseas that give them a little bit more girth around the basket with Bloombergs and Lavers, a couple 6'9", 6'10" guys. Lavers really shoot that ball from the outside, kind of knock it down a little bit more from the outside. Bloomberg got a little bit more beef. And, of course, then they got the preseason WAC Player of the Year, Josh Braun, coming back. He's had a great season last year. He's banged up a little bit, but finished the season strong, averaging almost 18 points a game. And, where they really are going to be a situation where they may have a little question mark is Casey Benson. Mm-hmm. He replaces a strong point guard that they had from a year ago. There was an extension of Coach Marley on the floor. But Casey Benson is a player that played with Oregon last season, who went to the Final Four. So he adds experience at that position. But will he have some of the speeds, the intangibles that Dwayne Russell had from a year ago?
Talking with Scott Williams, talk to the Lopes with Brad Sesmat. Every week we talk GCU athletics. The Lopes tomorrow night have their home opener against St. Francis. That's at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a crazy time. The Havocs are going to be out and all the fun over at GCU. What do you want to see?
Yeah, if anybody hasn't experienced the Havocs before really needs to get over there and get some tickets because it is by far and away the best venue in college basketball that we have here in the state of Arizona.
There's no question about it. What do you want to see, Scott? I mean, these games in November and December, they're all important. But in a year where they're going to the tournament for the first time, I kind of feel like, and I get it, from a media standpoint, all that people are talking about is March, first-time tournament eligibility and all that stuff. That's great. But you got to get there. And so what do you want to see as the analyst and a guy who's won at the highest level?
You know, I guess I want to see a little bit more commitment from these guys from a consistency standpoint. I had a bit of a feeling last year that they succumbed to human nature of playing to the marquee, meaning they didn't rise against some of the lesser teams the way that they should have and approach the game from the same mentality as when they had a Louisville or a Duke or U of A on the marquee. So they got 9 straight home games to start this season. And regardless of who is across the court from them, I wanted to see him have a mentality that says Dan Marley, GCU basketball, no matter who they're going up against, it's going to be hard-nosed, one-on-one defense, none of that zone stuff. You know, you mano a mano, you knuckle up, lock your guy down. If you get beat, everybody's on a string helping one another, but an up-tempo, fast-paced basketball style that the fans get excited for, regardless of who's over on the other side.
You were talking earlier about Casey Benson, and so here's a guy that has played not only here but up at Oregon, played at a high level, been in the tournament, been in all Final Four, all that stuff, and now he comes here. Do you think that it's a period of adjustment for him in these first 2 months, or because he's a fifth-year guy, it's walk-in, plug-and-play?
I think he'll be fine. It's how the other guys around him can adjust to, you know, the way his style may be different from Dwayne Russell. Dwayne Russell logged heavy minutes when he was on the on the floor, and it's a bit of a different style. Casey's a lefty; he's a little bit more shifty. Russell was more, you know, just put the pedal to the metal and turn and burn. How these guys adjust to playing with Benson will be important right from the very get go. And Oscar Frere, you know, he's a kid who was at a great freshman year, averaged nearly 8 points. Led the team in block shots, second on the team in rebounds. He's added some muscle from a year ago. I want to see how his improvement, how he comes back. Jared Martin only averaged 5 points last year, but was a defensive stalwart out there on the basketball floor. I'd like to see him have more consistency with his outside shot and his aggressiveness on the offensive end.
Okay, last question. I'll let you go off this. We're talking with Scott Williams. He'll be doing the broadcast tomorrow night on Talk to the Lopes. Be doing the broadcast of GCU and their opener. Because there is so much hype and so much attention, I myself don't like these type of questions, but they have to get asked anyways. Can a team get overhyped for a home opener with all the expectations that have been heaped on this program?
Oh, yeah, certainly. You're talking about 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. The place is going to be rocking and rolling. The Havocs will be doing their thing. The band will be turned up 10 to 10. The dancers will be out there performing with mascot running around acting crazy. So yeah, you can have some adrenaline that is actually counterproductive to what you want to do. And your first time you step on the court for a first pass, you got to try to harness that energy. Make sure that you're concentrating on the sets, you where you're supposed to be offensively. You know, sometimes you can see teams come out and they'll turn the ball over 10, 12 times in the first half because the adrenaline's flowing too strong. You know, they're trying to be a little too unselfish or trying to think for another player out there on the floor. Those kind of things get you in trouble. Where I don't have any doubt is that Coach Marley, associate head coach Todd Lee, we'll calm their team down with either at halftime or with a timeout break and make sure that they're locked in. I mean, they're going against the NAIA team coached by Ryan Marks. You know, St. Francis is not a team that's supposed to contend with GCU, but it will be a good matchup. They do have some solid players. They have won their conference the last 3 years in a row. So it'll be a test. They have a little out and perform. I don't think they'll lose the basketball game, but it'll be a certain one of those things to kind of get out those opening night jitters, so to speak.
No question about it. Hey, good stuff, Scott. We'll see you at the games. Appreciate the insight and love to have you on again. Thanks.
Absolutely. I got to ask you one question
before
we get off the air. Who do you have winning tonight, Dodgers or Astros?
I want the Dodgers to win, don't you? I mean, you have Lance McCullers Jr. going. Darvish, Kershaw is going to come out of the bullpen. This is going to be Randy Johnson 2001 all over again for the Diamondbacks. We're going to have that dramatic moment. Kershaw is going to come out of the bullpen at some point. It doesn't matter if it's a lefty he's going to come in against. It could be Kershaw against Altuve, okay? But it's going to happen. It's going to be great theater and great drama. I want the Dodgers, so there you go.
I hope you're right. I'm looking forward. I'm trying to get my buddy to gas up his play so I can bounce over and bounce back today.
Do it. Do it. Thanks, Scott. See ya.
Thanks for having me out. I look for more conversations this year. Lopes up.
You got it there, Scott Williams there. And that is Talk to the Lopes every week, every Wednesday. Talk to the Lopes. We talk GCU athletics. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.